Well, Happy New Year, everyone. Great to see you. I just want to tell you, Fairhaven Church, how grateful I am for all that you do in serving this community and helping each weekend in all of our different campuses. And Kathy and I, this month, start our 20th year here at Fairhaven Church. And I just want to pause and tell you how much we love you and are grateful for you and all that God is doing here. And So it's great to have you here. If you're brand new, I want to welcome you. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and it's an honor to have you here. If you're looking for a church home, we would love to at least help you to find that. We are only one of many great churches in this community, and the important thing is that you land. The important thing is that you get plugged in and that you find a place where your family can grow, and that's what's important to us. And so we're excited about this brand new series that we're going to start, and it's called Know Better. And we've all heard the phrase, you should know better. In fact, you probably heard that as a kid from a parent or maybe a teacher or a coach or something like that in your life. And that raises several questions in my mind. And the first question is, what does better look like? I mean, what does that look like in our lives? And of course, the second question then would be, well, how can we know it? How can you and I know it in our lives? And that's why we're going to be doing this series called Know Better. As I got thinking, I thought, you know, as we start a brand new year, if there is one chapter in the Bible that I could read, and I could read no other chapters in all of the Bible, if I only had one chapter of the Bible, if I was stuck on an island somewhere, that sounds pretty good about right now, right, in all of our campuses. If I was stuck on an island and I was only given one chapter of the Bible, I know exactly what chapter I would take with me, and I'm going to suggest that maybe you look at the same chapter as I'm going to look at with you over these next 3 weeks. We're going to dive into one chapter in the Bible as we start this new year, because I believe that if you had only one chapter that you could read the entire year of 2018, this chapter has so much in it that you could learn for an entire year. Not only that, it'd be a great chapter to memorize a few things out of it, or maybe the whole chapter, if you're a person that likes to memorize. It's just that good. It's the one chapter that if I only had one that I could read, it's this chapter right here, and you're probably wondering what it is, Romans chapter 8. And if you've been in church for any length of time, you're probably thinking, oh yeah, that's a good one right there, right? I mean, there's lots of great chapters in the Bible. Obviously, it's all there for us because God gave us this, these letters and this historical document to help us to understand who God is and how he works in people's lives. And Paul wrote this. Paul wrote, you know, most of the New Testament. And Romans chapter 8 is just that chapter for me. And here's the reason why. Because it's right here in Romans chapter 8 that we find the difference between those who fail in life and those who thrive in life. And so I thought, what a great chapter for us to start the year. And what a chapter that you and I could understand what it means to know better. Because in here, Paul tells us three specific important things that will help you and me in my year and in this brand new year. And we're going to start with one today, and I hope you'll come back next week because we'll look at a second one, and then we'll look at the third one the third week. And I want to encourage you just in beginning that if you're in a small group, why don't you go ahead and start reading Romans chapter 8. In fact, if you're not even a small group, start reading Romans chapter 8. And so I'm going to encourage you right now, get your Bibles out or your devices and power them up, because we want to look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to park here for 3 weeks, and I encourage you, if you're not at a place, you know, or if you are rather at a place where you need to start reading something new, I'm going to encourage you to read Romans chapter 8 over the next 3 weeks and just read it and read it and read it. And maybe you can underline and highlight some things in your devices and Bibles, because as we learn together, I think you'll discover with me that Romans chapter 8 is a pretty amazing chapter in the Bible. So what I want to do with you today is, first of all, start in verse 5. So Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles open, I'm going to start by putting a couple scriptures on screen here, and then I'm going to read the chapter with you. We're going to read all the way, hopefully, through verse 17, because that's the first thing that Paul wants to talk to us about that's so important to the beginning of your year, to the beginning of anything. Maybe you're engaged to get married. Maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe you're going to a new college or whatever it might be. What a great place to start. And this is what it says. This is what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. And this is the first thought that we gain from here, and it's this. Those who live according to the sinful nature, now some of your Bibles, if you're looking there, it says flesh. I don't like the word flesh there because it's kind of, it's hard to understand what that means. And so if your Bible says flesh, why don't you just write above sinful nature? because I think that's a little bit easier to understand, and so just substitute that in there. And several translations actually use sinful nature. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set. So in your Bibles, you may want to underline that in verse 5. Your minds set. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the sinful nature desires. However, or but those who live in accordance with the Spirit, or God in you, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The next verse is also equally important, and I'll tell you why it's equally important in just a little bit. But he goes on in verse 6, and he says this: the mind governed by the flesh, or sinful nature, the mind governed by the sinful nature is death. It's a death-like experience. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So if you're a note taker and you want to jot this down, here's the one thing I want you to remember today, and that's this. This is what Paul says in verses 5 and 6, and we're going to look all around it, starting in verse 1 all the way through verse 17 today, because this is the first thought I think that Paul wants us to understand in Romans chapter 8 as we begin this brand new year, because this chapter is amazing, and that's this, that mindset matters. Your mindset matters. The things that you and I think about matters. It's a difference between those who fail and those who thrive. And so what would it be like this year in 2018 and all of our campuses at Springboro? What would it be like if you were to thrive this year? And Northmont, what would it be like if all of you would thrive this year? And Classics in Centerville here, what would it be like if all of us were to thrive because we understand that mindset matters? And so we're going to be talking about that today because it's so important that in the chapter, I think one of the most important chapters in all the Bible, Paul says, we got to think about what we're thinking about. So let me ask you the question, where is your mindset? What are you thinking about these days? And we'll talk a lot about that. See, this isn't original to me, but I love this statement. Whatever dominates your thoughts, so whatever you're thinking about all the time, whatever you allow into your mind, whatever the things that you're allowing into your mind, whatever dominates your thoughts will determine your choices. So if you've set resolutions for the new year, nothing wrong with resolutions. Many people actually quit by February, according to the statistics, and we all set resolutions for different things, but stats tell us that by February, most of us give up on it. And the question is why? And here's the answer. And the answer is because if we don't set our minds on it, if we just simply try to make a choice, we have to make sure that we're thinking about the right things and that we look at the right things and we process the right things. It will help us to make the choices because what dominates your thoughts will determine your choices. And that's really, really important. And I've learned that with this little animal that I have in my house. Here he is. She, actually. I've told you before, this is little Boba. And don't tell my kids, but I love this little dog. I tell them all the time that I hate the dog. But this is little Boba. She's a little tiny little dog. And Boba has a certain mindset. And let me tell you what her mindset is. Her mindset is set on either food or squirrels. And if you have a dog, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, when we're eating dinner together as a family at the table, Boba is right there. She's looking up. She's waiting in case by chance that you drop a whole piece of chicken or, you know, something on the ground, which my sons have accidentally done before. But she's also, when you go outside with her in the yard, she sees a squirrel and she's gone. I mean, she takes off. She has a mindset. And I would even go so far as to say she has a sinful mindset. And so we thought, we got to do something about this because we take her outside and she gets so distracted and we want to make sure that we can keep her in our yard. It's the proper thing to do and so forth. And so we decided that we're going to do something to help her. And this is what we did. We hired a company to come out and help us to put a little collar around our dog. And so she's got this little pretty bow that my son put on so that everybody knows she's a girl, all right, in the neighborhood. And she's got her name tag right here that says Boba and a phone number there. So if she does get, you know, out of our yard, then you can call us and let us know that you have her. We'll probably, if I answer the phone, I'll probably tell you just keep her. And then there's this little thing right here on the end, and it's pretty amazing. It has a battery in it and has two little nodes on it. And this is awesome right here. And if you have a dog, maybe you know what I'm talking about. It's called an electric fence, but I don't call it an electric fence. I call this behavior modification. And so this company came out and they put electrical lines all around our yard to make sure the dog didn't get out, knowing that Boba has this mindset that if she sees a squirrel, she's gone. And so we had this, you know, this wire set out around the yard, and I would take her out, and because they said you have to kind of walk her around the yard so that she understands those little white flags. Ever see those little white flags? So we walked her around, and I remember one day I was walking her around the edge of those white flags, and guess what? Boba, in her sinful mind, she saw a squirrel, and she took off. And she ran right across it, and she got a little jolt, not a lot of one, but she got a little jolt, and she kind of looked up a little bit and kind of shook a little bit, but she kept right on going. So I called the company, and I said, I think we got something going on here that's not going to be good. And he said, what's that? And I said, well, she ran across the line, and they said, well, how about if we come out and turn it up? And I go, oh, yeah. I want you to turn that sucker way up. And they did, in this little dog, you know. And so, you know, I can't remember how long ago, you know, afterwards, but I was walking her around the yard, and, you know, her mindset kicked in. She saw a squirrel, and she took off, and she ran across the line, and it jolted her so badly, which was just kind of fun to watch. And she jumped up in the air, probably about 2 feet, screamed really loud, but kept running. And I thought, huh, all right. She's going to have to come back. So I went over and finally found her in the yard, in the neighborhood's yard and all that, and I put the leash on her, and I dragged her right back into our yard, right back over the line. And some of you are thinking, you're pretty cruel. You must have a sinful nature as well. And guilty as charged, I wanted her to remember. And since that moment, she has never gone out of our yard. Mindset matters, doesn't it? Here's what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 8, if you're not catching it, where Paul says this, that there's an inner battle that's going on for control in your life. That inner battle is happening on the inside with our thoughts and our emotions and our desires, and it's a battle that's going on. In fact, it's a battle between our sinful nature and the Spirit of God. And if you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, here's what I know about you. You have a battle going on. It's an ongoing battle in your life, a spiritual battle that happens every single day. If you're here today in any one of our campuses or online joining us today, and you're not experiencing any of this battle, in other words, you don't really wrestle with this, you know, this doesn't make any sense to you. There's not really a battle going on. I mean, you know what the difference between right and wrong is, but you're not battling with your emotions. You're not battling with your thoughts. The chances are you might not be a follower of Jesus Christ because of what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to address that today because the mindset matters. And this is so important for us to understand that there's this spiritual battle that's going on in our lives. This battle is so strong that Paul warns us of the outcome. He says you have to be careful of your mindset. Verse 5, you can see it there, right? Be careful of your mindset, because if you're thinking about these things, it's going to impact you. And if you're thinking about these things, it's going to impact you. And so look at verse 6 again. Let me remind you, verse 6, because here's what he's saying here. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind, however, governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You know, I don't know anybody that wants a marriage that's dead. I don't know anybody that wants a dead family or a dead church experience. I don't know anybody that wants a career that's dead. I don't know anybody that wants a future that's dead, or a, you know, their soul to be dead or their business to be dead. I know lots of people who want life and peace. Anybody in here want life and peace? Anybody, Springboro, Northmont Classics? Anybody want life and peace? I know I do. That's why I thought it'd be kind of interesting to take a look at Romans chapter 8, because wouldn't it be amazing if in 2018, this was a year, ready for this? This was a year of life and peace. If you wanted to write it down, see, peace is not just some kind of happiness, you know, that happens. Peace is emotional wellness. We're emotionally, we're well, deep inside of our hearts. And so that's why we're doing this series, Know Better. Of course, the question then comes is this: how do I get my mindset? How do you and I get the mindset in our lives? Well, Paul tells us. So jump back up to verse 1, because we're going to read through. I may not have time to read all 17 verses, but I'm going to read enough of it that will maybe give you some curiosity to read it on your own, because Paul tells us right here three things I want to tell you today about mindset. How do you develop a mindset? A mindset that will give you life and peace versus a mindset that will bring a death-like experience in your life. So here's number one. Here's how you and I determine a mindset, because mindset matters, and that's this, that we need to claim no shame. You and I today can begin this new year and we can say, you know what, I'm going to claim that there's going to be no shame at all in my life. And we see that in verse 1. Let's take a look. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And how does this happen? He tells us, because, verse 2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own son, we just celebrated that, Christmas, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and the word likeness there is a word you might want to circle, because he didn't come like us, he came in the likeness of us. In other words, he took on human flesh, but he was perfect in every way, perfect. In the likeness of sinful flesh, to be a sin offering. In other words, to die for you and for me. That's what we just celebrated in all of our campuses, and even online. That's why we celebrate communion, because God died. Jesus died. Not only that, he rose from the dead. He conquered that for all of us. And so he condemned sin in the flesh or sinful nature in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So verse 1 is really, really important, because Paul is saying here that we need to claim no shame. Now, he uses the word condemnation, but condemnation is the same word as shame. Many of us don't understand condemnation to its full degree. I think the word shame probably in our context in the 21st century probably makes a little bit more sense, but let me define the word shame for you. See, shame is painful emotion of being unworthy because of something that you did or because of something that someone has done to you. That's shame. And it's really interesting because Paul is, in this verse 1, he's telling us that you and I have an opportunity in our lives every single day to make sure that we see the difference between two words. Let me give you the difference. See, condemnation is shame, which is different than conviction. Condemnation is bad because condemnation drives you away from God. Shame does. Conviction, on the other hand, can be positive. Healthy conviction can be positive because healthy conviction can draw you to God. See the difference? That's why Paul says in verse 1, there is now no condemnation. Let me define it just a little further. See, condemnation is shame even with confessed wrongdoing. It's interesting that when I look at my life, and maybe you can look at your life, and just sort of reflect on the last year, maybe the last couple of years, is it possible that there's anything that you have done in your life over the last year that you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't want to repeat that. That was not who God is in me. That didn't reflect what I want in my life with Jesus. And yet, isn't it amazing that even though we confess it to him and say, God, I don't want to do that. God, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to behave that way. I don't want my anger to be like that. Isn't it interesting that even in the opportunity when we confess wrongdoing in our lives, we still feel shame? Shame is that emotional pain that you don't measure up. And Paul says there is now no condemnation. So we can claim no shame. That's a beginning place of a good mindset. Would you agree? That's the beginning place. We can claim it. We can claim it today because of Jesus Christ. Conviction, on the other hand, is guilt because of unconfessed wrongdoing. And this is positive. Now, there is negative guilt, but there's also very healthy guilt. And healthy guilt, when we have not confessed wrongdoing, or when we have not agreed to it, or when we have not acknowledged it, or when we have not, you know, stated in our own lives that that was my fault, this can draw us to God. And what you notice, this draws us away from God. This draws us to God. That's why he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. In your Bibles, I want you to look at a couple of words in chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is now, meaning it's immediate. It's not a process. It's not like, you know, over this next year. It's now. You can claim that now. It's something that you and I can do, and we can push shame away and say, you know what? Jesus covered that. I'm going to start my new year, and I'm going to claim no shame. I am not going to have this emotional pain of feeling like I don't measure up, because Jesus did all the work for you. And because of what Jesus did, you have been made right. If you belong to Jesus, if you belong to him, you've been made right. Now, there is no condemnation. So it's right now, and it's complete. There's nothing there. I want you to look at the last part of verse 1. Because here's who it's for. You can only claim no shame, watch this, if you belong to Christ Jesus. Some of you might say, well, that seems very narrow-minded. No, it's not narrow-minded. It's the reality that there's no way you can experience freedom in your life if you don't accept freedom. You have to belong. See, Paul didn't say for those who know Jesus. You see that there? Paul didn't say for those who agree with Jesus. He didn't say for those who understand what Jesus is saying. Here's what he said, for those who belong, meaning that you're part of the family, meaning that you've surrendered your life and you're in relationship with God. You're a son or a daughter of the King. You belong. And when you belong, here's how you can set a mindset that will give you life and peace, and that's this: claim no shame. Anybody ready to do that today? If you're here today in any one of our campuses and you don't belong to Jesus and you're not even sure about that, we can take care of that today. And we want to do that at the very end. Just give you an opportunity to pray a simple prayer. We're not going to ask you to stand or walk forward or sing a song or do something crazy. We're going to simply ask you to just pray a prayer and surrender your life so that you can belong. Because what would it be like if you started out your year, with life and peace because you claim no shame? That's powerful. Well, there's a second thing that Paul says, and that's this, that we need to filter the flow. Because in our world today, there are lots of things that filter into our lives, that flow into our lives. We read verses 5 and 6. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 7. So the mind governed by the sinful nature is hostile towards God. In other words, you're going to push God away. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are in the realm of the sinful nature, but you're in the realm of the Spirit. And if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, in other words, if you belong, if Christ is in you, then even through your body, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. There's a lot that Paul's saying in there. But essentially what he's saying is your mindset matters. And as you think about your mindset, we need to make sure that we understand that if our mindset is leaning towards the Spirit of God, there's a reason for that, because we belong to Jesus, we belong to him. But in the process of all that, we have to guard ourselves. We have to watch the flow into our minds. Let me illustrate it for you. In fact, this might be the most powerful thing you'll see today. See, there's a flow that comes into your mind, into your life every single day. There's a flow that comes in, and this flow that comes in is going to push you to either sin and death, or it's going to push you to life and peace. And Paul is saying, watch your mindset, meaning watch the flow, filter the flow in your life. And we have this flow every day. This is what it looks like. Facebook. How many of you might say, you know, I'm probably on Facebook too much? Because it brings something into your mind. It flows into your mind. And I'm here to tell you that everything that flows into your mind, it's not neutral. It's not neutral. You and I have to process it, and it's going to push you one way or the other. Facebook, movies, billboards, not many billboards in our town, but billboards, books, inspiration, you know, when you're together with other people, the inspiration of that, podcasts, maybe worship, relationships, the kind of friendships that you have. So if you're here and you're in high school, the reason why we as parents tell you that your relationship matters, here's why. Listen up if you're in high school. Because this relationship flows into your life, and when it flows into your life, it's going to push you one way or the other. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have relationships with people that are different than you. It means you have to guard the fact that you don't want more relationships with people who are going to push you the wrong way. Does that make sense? And so, relationships, and then you have ads and news, Bible, music, prayer, Google, Netflix, YouTube, TV. And I wanted to add in here, The Bachelor. I don't get that show. I mean, you know, I think women watch that show and they measure themselves with all the other girls, right? And guys watch that show and they don't measure themselves with a guy. They're watching all the girls, you know, and it just, it's a crazy show about love, and I don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't watch it, actually. I'm not judging anybody that watches it. I'm just saying that if you watch it, there's the flow into your life, and that flow is going to push you one way or the other. It might push you to sin and death, and Galatians chapter 5, by the way, tells us and lists for us these things, so you can look at it for yourself in Galatians chapter 5. Because in Galatians chapter 5, it defines what sin and death is, and it defines it as sexual immorality, where there's sexual things happening in your life that are either before or outside of marriage, because God designed it for marriage, or impure thoughts that come into your life, or hostility, or quarreling, you know, whether you're not getting along with people around you, jealousy, of course that may be related to Facebook, I don't know, lying that happens, outbursts of anger, drunkenness, wild parties, and then strife. Strife is just when life stinks. And so Paul is saying, you have to watch your mindset, you have to watch the flow, you have to filter the flow coming into your life, because it might push you to sin and death, or it might push you to life and peace. If you're spending time in God's Word, as Paul mentioned last week, great message. If you're thinking about worship and being a part of a church family on a regular basis, making sure that you're hearing, you know, God's Word, and that you're hearing the understanding of it, and you're spending time in that, and you're doing it in your families. You know why? Because that flow comes into your life and pushes you to love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and happiness, self-control and generosity, relational wholeness, financial wellness. You realize that we can have a flow from God in here, and we can experience financial wellness and a contented living. Doesn't that look good to anybody? I don't know about you, but it looks good to me. And yet we, in our culture today, we see shows that talk about sex, and yet they twist it with humor, and because it's funny, it's okay. And so there's shows like Big Bang Theory and House of Cards, Modern Family. Again, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying in my life and in your life, we have to filter the flow. In fact, at the very end, I'm going to challenge you. Are there things that are flowing into your life that you need to take out? Are there things that are not flowing into your life that you need to add in? Because the things that flow into your life are going to push you one way or the other. And so we have things like violence. You know, there's Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Orange is the New Black. I don't know if you've seen that show. There's shows that talk about relationships, where relationships is just like a, you know, it's like a board game. Friends, Bachelor, I mentioned, Grey's Anatomy. Movies that tell us about greed, The Wolf of Wall Street. I haven't seen it. If you haven't seen it, don't watch it. I hear it's terrible. There's all kinds of things that flow in. Would you agree with me, church? Our families are in trouble. Would you agree? Our families are in trouble. And see, Paul is saying that there's this flow that comes into our lives, and that flow is going to push you one way or the other. And what we have to do, with no judgment upon you, no judgment about what you watch, what I'm saying is we need to filter the flow. I remember in high school taking my first computer class, and they taught me this, G-I-G-O. Anybody remember that? Garbage in, say it with me. Garbage in, what? Garbage out. That's exactly what Paul's saying. Paul is saying G-I-G-O. In fact, if you want to write in your Bibles right now, G-I-G-O, that's what Paul is saying. Mindset matters. And so the flow that comes into your life, mindset matters. That's why he says to the Colossian church, set your minds on things that are above. And the question is, above what? And I would say above the culture for sure, right? Above the things that are all around us, let's make sure that our minds are set so that we can, above, we can filter the flow in our lives. We can be careful of what we allow. And at the minimum, listen carefully, at the minimum, we are offset. So if you're watching a TV program, and I get there's humor and fun in that and so forth, what I would say to you is make sure that you offset that with other things in your life. Make sure that there's worship happening in your life and there's reading of Scripture every day. You know, find something where you can download an app and you can read a passage of Scripture every single day, and it brings to flow into your life. Offset all the things that you come into your life. Offset that so that it pushes you the right direction in your life. It's so very, very important. It's no wonder that as we're thinking about this, that we ought to think on things that are above so that we can make sure that when this flow comes in, it pushes us in the right direction. David says it this way, blessed is the person who meditates on God's word day and night. Now, that's not possible. I know you have jobs and you have kids and you have friends and you have high school and you have college to study for, and I get all that. But what he's saying here is you got to chase after God. He is like a tree planted by the streams, water, which yield fruit in season and whose leaf never withers. Let me put it in my own words, if you'll allow me, and that's this. Blessed is a person who stays plugged in. Because when you stay plugged into your spiritual life and you begin to download and you begin to allow flow that comes into your life, it pushes you the right way. I want to encourage you during this next year to make worship a part of your life, to make Bible reading a part of your life, to make a small group a part of your life, to listening to music that will help you in your life to make a part of that. Offset the flow of your life in order that you can stay plugged in. And some of you are saying, you know, Dave, I'm busy. I'm really busy now. I'm not sure I can do that. I mean, I got sports, and I think you know me. I love sports. I did lots of sports. Sports is really important. Some of you might say, well, you know, my kids are in dance, and sometimes that, you know, that interrupts, and I get that. Scholarships are, you know, to be had here, and, you know, I got season tickets for a game, and I understand that, and I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't go to a game. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do these kinds of things. Here's what I'm saying to you, that when you unplug and when the flow is not happening into your life, you know what you notice? Your soul begins to sag. You know what you notice? All of a sudden, you begin to entertain thoughts that you would never entertain before. Thoughts in your marriage about another woman or another man. You begin to entertain thoughts in high school that you know that it's just not the right spot for you. You begin to entertain thoughts that you never thought you would have. You know what happens when you unplug for weeks at a time and you don't allow there to be spiritual flow into your life? Here's what happens. You begin to question God like never before, to the place all the way to where you say, I'm not even sure he's real. That doesn't happen when there's proper flow happening into your life. Home becomes a place of unrest. Have you ever noticed that? And so again, we need to make sure that we filter the flow. Here's the third thing, and we'll end with this. We need to claim no shame. We need to filter the flow. We need to develop new desires. New desires. See, if we had the time, I would take you down to verse 12, because Paul says, we need to make sure, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. And the word obligation seems like a very negative word in our culture today. If you're obligated to do something, here's what Paul is saying. When you find your life like a magnet and you're drawn towards God and you chase after God, it pushes you the right direction. And he says in verse 15 that the spirit you receive does not make you slaves. It's not, you know, it's not making you a slave to life. so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit received about brought about your adoption to sonship. The Spirit of God in your life will push you the right direction, and you will become part of the family, and you will experience all kinds of new desires. And what happens is you begin to chase after God. And so the psalmist says it this way. David says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard this verse. The problem is this verse is quoted in so many wrong ways. Some of us have it hanging up in our homes. And the word that we focus on typically is this verse word right here, give. That if you take delight in the Lord, if you chase after God, he will give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you that, you know, that thing that you're looking for in your life. But that's not the point of this verse. There's another word that's important here. You might want to underline it if you want to look it up sometime, Psalm 37, and that's the word you. See, if you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Let me put it this way. If you chase after God, he will change your desires. He will change your desires. I told you that a couple months ago that I went to Wisconsin to visit a friend of mine. I spoke in his church, and I don't know if you've ever seen these things. They're called cheese curds. And let me tell you, they're so unhealthy, but they're awesome. And I fell in love with these cheese curds. I mean, when I go up to Wisconsin, I won't eat anything else. First thing we're going to do is we eat cheese curds. And we eat it at every single restaurant when I go up to visit my buddy up there. It's amazing. Here's what I've discovered, that when you get a new desire in your life, it's all you want, right? When you like cheese curds, when you go to Wisconsin, here's what you want, cheese curds. Doesn't matter anything else they have to offer up there, the culture and the accent that they have up there. Here's what you want. You want cheese curds in your life. And that's because when you get a taste of life and peace, when you get a taste of this, when you claim no shame and you filter the flow and it pushes you this way, when you get a taste of any of this, you're going to want it all year long. You're going to want it all year long. Because you see, mindset matters. It matters. So let me ask you some questions. Question number one, do you belong to Jesus? Because if you don't, you can't claim no shame. You're going to be filled with shame. I don't care if you're 12 years old or if you're 90 years old. In all of our campuses, whether you're here at Centerville, Classics, Northmont, Springboro, online, right now, with your eyes open, you can just quietly say, God, I invite you into my life. I want to belong. I recognize that you died for me, and I give you my life. It's that simple. And the sincerity of that in your heart begins to change something on the inside. Your inner world will change. Your mindset will change because Paul said there is now no condemnation. Claim no shame. Question two. Do you need to filter the flow? Is there something as you begin this year, think with me for a minute, is there something that is flowing into your mind that you need to take out? Make that decision. Is there something you need to add in? Make that decision. That would be a good resolution right there. To pull something out of the flow or to add something into the flow. Filter the flow. Thirdly, here's a question. Are you chasing after God? Or is it an afterthought? Because if you chase after God, he gives you new desires. He gives you new desires. And you see life totally different. What a great thing. Would you bow with me? In all of our campuses, Father, we thank you that you've given to us this amazing chapter in Romans 8. May we know better. May we understand today that mindset so matters in our lives, that we begin this year that we can absolutely claim no shame. That's what you desire for us. That we don't need to go through life with this emotional pain. Do we measure up? Are we worthy or not? We are only worthy because of you. Father, help us to make some decisions, maybe some resolutions about taking things out and adding things in. Help us to chase after you. Father, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen.